drive a dick that's a sex machine to all the chicks.
Wait, who's that? You're damn right, it's Shaft. Private Detective John Shaft, described in the 1971 movie Press Kit as a hard and handsome breed of black man spawned amongst the violence and dangers of the innards of Harlem, in which he moves with self-assured ease. Shockingly bold for 1971, just years after the height of the civil rights movement, Isaac Hayes' score topped the Billboard charts. Shut your mouth. Richard Roundtree, who played Shaft, became a neighborhood icon. The film birthed the genre of blaxploitation films.
I didn't even introduce myself to you gentlemen. My name is John Shaft. Freeze.
There would be a short-lived TV series, movie sequels with Samuel L. Jackson as Shaft's nephew, and now a multi-generational reboot. Jackson, now Shaft's son, Shaft II, his estranged son, Shaft Jr., played by newcomer Jesse Usher, an FBI data analyst, and Grandpa, Richard Roundtree, making a return as Shaft. Brought out of retirement to help his grandson find the drug kingpin who killed his childhood friend. In this scene, the three Shafts approach a security guard. Roundtree will challenge him to an arm wrestle.
Can I help you, gentlemen?
Yeah, I was telling my boys here that even at my age, I could take you. Come on, Pop. Ain't you got something better to do?
Sound like to me calling you out, Holmes.
That is, unless you're scared.
Scared? Okay.
Of course, Richard Roundtree's Shaft pins him, then knocks him out.
Still got it.
Ba-dum-bum.
Right. Ba-dum-bum. Boy, Richard Roundtree, how did you feel, first of all, when they said, let's do this?
I thought it was over in 74 after the TV series. And then I got called back many years later with Sam and... kind of underwhelmed with that production. And then they said, we're going to do another one, three generations of Shaft. And I read it, and this was a totally different Shaft.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, this is probably going to work. And to my utter surprise, this thing is off the chain.
No kidding. I mean, you came on the screen last night, and the place went crazy. So first, how did it feel to embody the character again?
Well, honestly, it's much like riding a bike. I mean, it's a comfortable pair of shoes.
Yeah. Well, novelist Ernest Tidyman created Shaft, he has said, as a revolutionary, someone taking things into his own hands. The mythic photographer Gordon Parks made the movie as a symbol of strength and pride.
Well, Gordon Parks is Shaft.
Mm.
The way he moved, the way he talked. He is... the most sophisticated, smooth person that I have ever met. And to be in his presence and to be a part of something that he has his stamp on is magical to me.
Gordon Parks was kind of Shaft instead of with a gun, with a camera.
Wow, yeah. You're right.
Black and white camera.
You're
yeah.
right.
Yeah. And this new version, you've said it's different. It is so different. Enter John Shaft Jr., JJ, grows up, you know, in the suburbs with his mother who has left Shaft because of all of the violence in his life. He dresses like a preppy, goes to MIT. He's technical.
He's a geek.
He's a geek. Okay. Hates guns, has been estranged from Samuel L. Jackson, Shaft, his dad, but now he needs him to help solve a crime. He's conflicted.
I work for the FBI. I can't be aiding and abetting the city's highest profile sociopath as he just tears through Harlem one drug dealer at a time.
Look, you asked for my help, I gave you my help. You don't like the way the sausage is made, close your eyes when you eat it.
What kind of metaphor is that?
I think what you're trying to say is thank you.
Yeah.
And so JJ needs him, he in turn needs you, to take down this, you know, horrible crew, as usual, that's, you know, peddling drugs and causing mayhem. Just talk a little bit about this new young JJ who wants to do things on computers and with apps, and your character doesn't know what he's talking about, who, again, you know, resists guns, is in the FBI, but resists sort of the violent side of that work, and then turns towards it. And there is kind of a teasing of him by others in his circle that I think somebody even says, you seem white. And there was a little, you know, I'm a white person talking to you, but there was a little bit of a sense of, Well, what kind of message is that? You know, that it's not cool to be smart and it's not cool to go to MIT? Because, as you know, young African-Americans sometimes struggle with that.
Mm.
You know, that if they do well, they're called geeks and they're called too white. You know, your kind of thoughts on walking that line in the movie.
It's a reality, and you got to get past it. And I've had to walk that line, but I always played by my own rules. And my rules are, you're either right or wrong.
No matter which side of the color equation you're on. I mean,
right.
The thing about Shaft, the original Shaft, was, as it says in the press release, he was this self-confident black man, but he also was comfortable in Whitey's trough, as they put it. And J.J. learns to be the same. But Samuel Jackson has said in the past that he just has a reverence for this role and what you came to mean to the black community, what this character came to mean. And he didn't want him to be reduced.
Buffoonish,
yeah. Did you worry about that in this movie? Because there's a lot of comedy.
No. Because I know what Sam is all about. And when I read the script, I didn't get any of that at all.
Yeah. Well, Usher, who's only 27, said he had to do some research to figure what this is all about. But he did know, as just about every young African-American, I think I can say, knows, that Shaft was a neighborhood hero. And that this couldn't be done just for entertainment. As Usher said, we need this. This guy, he's a champion. He has to be respected.
Mm.
What kind of a burden is that for you, having created this character on the screen? I mean, maybe not a burden, a blessing, but what responsibility do you
feel? That's the only way I can look at it. I used to look at it as a double-edged sword, you know. But I've had so many people from all over the country and all over the world, actually, come up and say what that film meant to them back in 71. It's heavy, and I'm appreciative of people speaking to me and sharing that with me. The other side of it is I got typecast for quite some time, and I've gone out of my way to establish a different side of my acting.
Mm.
Even going to playing the first interracial gay couple married on television.
That's right. The series Rock, R-O-C,
right.
That you played a part of a gay couple. You played another private detective in City Heat opposite Clint Eastwood, Burt Reynolds. Your beautiful voice is on PlayStation. I mean, and yet Shaft.
Yeah, I that's how far I went. But still, inevitably, whenever I guest on a show, the first day of work, invariably they'll play that theme song. Regardless of what I'm playing in the show, there's the theme song.
Right. Well, but some people would love to go through life with that as their soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My dad said to me once, he was out visiting me in L.A., and I was complaining about 24/7. The Shaft character comes up, and he says, "Son, let me tell you something. A lot of people leave this earth not being known for anything." Shut up.
No. Didn't he say, "Shut your mouth"?
Oh, no, you didn't.
But on the other hand, you have a brand new, fresh film, fresh young Shaft, Jesse Usher.
Yeah.
And here's, you know, Samuel Jackson, complete womanizer. And there's a scene in which Samuel Jackson threatening a woman with a gun, bad woman. And his son, JJ, says, "Well, you can't hit a woman." And Samuel Jackson says, "Why not?
She's got a bat.
She's got a bat. She's going to hit me."
"You can't beat up a woman."
"Why not?"
"Because she's a woman. That's like misogynistic."
"You the one being misogynistic. I ain't mentioning her gender. You the one bringing up her being a woman. I'm an equal opportunity."
All right, just can I handle this?"
You do have in this new film JJ bringing a different sensibility, telling Shaft. Nobody tells Shaft, you know, that he's wrong on certain moral issues. In this film, people do. And Jackson's Shaft seems to have kind of a change of heart on a lot of things by the end.
Yes. I think we covered all the bases with the millennials and the old school attitudes that seemingly have to bend, if you will,
mm-hmm.
not totally change, but bend,
mm-hmm.
and realizing that things are changing.
Yeah.
You get to look at how it bridges the three generations. There's an innate respect across the board.
Yeah. I have to ask, how are you? Because we know you had a form of cancer that men don't talk about a lot, but you did.
Yes.
Breast cancer, double mastectomy.
I didn't have a vote. I had to speak about it. Breast cancer is not gender specific. And men have this cavalier attitude about health issues. And I got such positive feedback because I spoke out about it. And it's been quite a number of years now. And I'm a survivor.
That's the good news. Well, there's also a message there that you can be the hard and handsome breed of black man, spawned in the dangers of Harlem, moving with self-assured ease, and take care of yourself.
Hello.
Richard Roundtree, the original Shaft, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you.